The following program is sponsored by Team Reba of RE/MAX Metro Eastside and Eric Osnes of Home Street Bank Home Mortgage. Welcome to Open House with Team Reba. Each week, Team Reba will be bringing you a roundup of real estate and mortgage news, along with information about the local Puget Sound region, highlighting some of the best and brightest entertainment options, family events, neighborhood highlights, and local business interviews, so you can feel right at home in the Pacific Northwest.
Welcome once again to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Haas of Team Reba, RE/MAX Metro East Side.
And I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank. Happy Saturday.
Yes, happy Saturday. Back at ya.
That's right. Well, we're here every Saturday from 2 to 3 o'clock bringing information on real estate and mortgage.
And all things related.
All things related.
In fact, today is going to be very, very related.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that. Today is no exception. We've got Karina Obar here with the Washington State Housing Finance Commission. And,
yes.
Reba, you and I have volunteered for the commission for many years.
Years and years. I think, you're over a couple of decades.
I think 21
and I'm
years.
Yeah, you're 21 and I'm at 15.
Yeah, so. We're teaching first-time homebuyer classes and just really fun to finally have somebody from the agency on the show.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining us, Karina. Really appreciate it.
You are welcome. I'm very excited to be here and thank you for the invitation.
Yeah,
oh, you bet.
Absolutely. We talk about that program all the time. So this will be fun to dive into it a little bit more for our listeners. But before we do that,
yeah,
where are we on interest rates nowadays? Since I just heard you last Saturday at our class.
Right. Yeah.
What's going on today?
Talking about what's going on with rates. Well, we're actually so far this week so good. The rates are staying relatively stable right now. It's sort of been two steps forward, one step back. We have a good day and then we have a bad day, and
it just kind of goes
along like that. Yeah. The overall expectation for interest rates, though, is that they are still trending upward, and they will continue to do so as long as the economy is showing so much strength. And that's what's affecting us right now. We have record low unemployment levels. We have good employment numbers and all of that. And we're seeing good wage growth, it's starting to kind of trickle into the economy. Well, that raises the specter of the possibility of inflation. And inflation is the enemy of interest rates.
Yes.
As inflation goes up, so go rates. So we did make it through November without a Fed rate hike. The Federal Reserve meets roughly every 6 weeks.
They've done it two or three times earlier this year.
I think we are on number three this year, I think.
Okay.
So, the Fed will be meeting again in December.
Right.
And it is expected that they'll probably increase short-term interest rates at that time.
Okay.
When the Fed does that, that's not necessarily a bad thing for mortgage rates, though.
Because, right, yeah, because you said short-term.
Yeah, it's short-term. They're playing with the Fed funds rate, which is essentially an overnight borrowing rate. It does directly impact things like home equity lines of credit, car loans, sometimes credit cards, anything that's tied to prime rate. Will be impacted immediately. With mortgage rates, it sometimes has almost the opposite effect because a Fed increase in rates is equivalent of tapping the brakes on the car. It's kind of slowing the economy just a little bit, trying to keep inflation from getting out of control.
I'm sorry to laugh, but as soon as you use that analogy, I think of you behind a Prius getting angry because it's not driving fast enough.
I'm not talking about brake checking the economy. I mean, we're not going to pull in front of the economy and slam on the brakes.
Okay,
that would be bad. Just a gentle tap, like, hey, just back off a little bit. So all in all, the rates are again still trending upward a little bit. The national averages today for a 30-year fixed rate mortgage are 5.04%. So we are up over the 5% mark.
Yep.
And expected to kind of stay in that range. 15-year fixed rates are averaging 4.52%.
Okay.
VA and FHA loans, 4.56%. Still get a little bit of a lower rate with those government loans.
I've been seeing more VA coming in lately, and I wonder if that's why.
That might be why. We love them. Yeah. They're just so fun.
Well, I know, but I mean, they might actually be looking at the comparison of some of the rates and finally saying, you know what, I do want to take advantage of that zero down opportunity.
Yeah, it's very true. And especially in our market where affordability is such a challenge.
Oh, absolutely.
We have folks that maybe they can qualify, but coming up with that down payment is difficult when you're paying $2,500 a month in rent or whatever those rent amounts are. Jumbo fixed rates are hovering around 4.61%. So those are okay. still looking pretty good. Yeah. And we are seeing more customers asking us about adjustable rate loans. You know, now that we're seeing fixed rates okay. trending upward, you know, there's going to be kind of more taking looks at those. You can take a 5-1 ARM right now around 4.71%. And a 7-1 ARM, which is a 30-year loan with a fixed rate for 7 years, is going to be just a little bit higher than that, maybe around 4.875%.
Okay.
And
so not a tremendous
No, but
savings.
Sometimes it's enough to make a difference for
right,
someone.
For
but boy, yeah. if you're thinking about an adjustable, please, please, please be careful. Talk
yes.
to your financial advisor. Talk to your lender.
Exactly.
Get the good, the bad, the ugly. Understand how that loan is going to behave.
100%, because the worst thing I saw happen during the recession was people who had those 10-year
mm-hmm.
ARMs. And right. suddenly they were like, oh, my gosh, my payment just skyrocketed. And
yeah.
you knew that they hadn't paid attention when they were getting the loan. Because I would have people call me who hadn't worked with me when they bought their places.
Right.
They'd call and be like, oh, my gosh, I need to sell this place. I'm like, well, what's going on? And we'd have this conversation about their payment adjusting so high. And I went, did you have a 10-year ARM? And they'd be like, what's that?
Well, yeah,
and like,
I don't know.
Well, if you've been in there 10 years and it's coming up, like, that's
yeah.
probably it.
I actually had some customers in my office on Friday. And they were trying to decide whether to refinance or not. And I said, well, what have you got now? And they go, well, we're at, you know, 3.5%.
Mm-hmm.
I go, when did you get your loan? And they go, 2016. And
yeah.
I go, it's a 30-year fixed rate. And they go, yeah. And I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And I don't think so. Rates weren't that low back in 2016. So sure enough, you know, we went in and looked at the deeds on that. That's actually public record. You can
2016
look that
stuff or 2006?
16.
Okay.
Yeah, 2016. No, they were on a 7-1 ARM. It's a fixed rate for 7 years.
Oh, geez.
Which it's a fine loan. I mean, and for them, it's going to be fine. Our
but
decision,
they just couldn't remember how long they'd had it?
No, they were told it was a fixed rate. They had no idea it was an adjustable rate loan. So the thing about an adjustable rate loan and what you were referring to, the one you really got to look at is the caps,
right.
how much that interest rate can change. And the very
yeah.
first adjustment on a lot of these loans
it's 2%, isn't it?
No, a lot of them it's 5%.
Oh, my gosh.
So if I'm at 3.5% today, and let's say we march along, I'm at the end of the 7-year period.
Yeah.
Yeah, my rate could go as high as 8.5%.
That's untenable.
5 percentage points above your starting
completely.
Rate. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You really need to know this stuff. And most loan officers out there don't, some of them don't even understand it themselves. You know,
I know. You and I talk about this all the time about the lack of skills in both of our industries because of how people get there and how
yeah.
we both keep pushing for more and more education and raising the requirements around the people
right.
in these industries.
But especially if you got your loan off the internet. You know, online,
right.
you know, maybe there just wasn't enough communication there. So you just got to be really, really careful about that.
Yeah.
You know, but all in all, you know, our outlook on rates maybe a little bit higher. I don't think it's going to get too super crazy, but
right.
we're not going lower for the time being.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a conversation we're having a lot in the real estate side of things, too, because there's people who are like, yes, rates have gone up. But they've outgrown their home or they have some other life circumstance that is affecting whether they're going to stay in the home they're in. And they're like, well, what am I going to do next? But I don't like where the rates are. I'm like, well, but if you wait 2 more years, every economist I'm listening to has the expectation that 2 years from now, it's going to be even higher than where we're at today. So,
right.
you know, you, I mean, it's not Vegas, but it's still a gamble.
Well, absolutely right. And you and I talk about that in our first time home buyer class. You know, if you've got let's say a $2,500 mortgage payment,
right.
the principal and interest, not counting your taxes and insurance and everything, mm-hmm. you know, $2,500 at 5% will buy you about $466,000 in loan.
Mm-hmm.
What if that rate goes to 6%? All of a sudden that same payment will only buy you $417,000.
That's huge.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about almost $50,000 mm-hmm. loss of buying power.
Yep.
You know, for a 1% increase
and
in rate.
And that loss of buying power either means you're going further out or you're giving up things that you want.
Right.
Or
yeah,
both.
Exactly. Well, you know what I like to say, you know, drive till you qualify.
Yep.
So, you know, so if I've got a certain payment, maybe I think that payment's in Ballard. Uh-uh. That payment moved. That payment's now down in Enumclaw.
Yeah.
You're going to have to travel to get to it.
It can change social structures. You know, absolutely. I have a lot of conversations with people that when they decide they want to buy and they see where they can afford and they've lived in the city, they're like, but my friends won't come see me there. And I'm like, then you have really crummy friends. But I also understand what they're talking about because in 2007, I moved to Renton, and honestly, 95% of the people who were in my social circle don't come down there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll come up and see them here, but honestly, I just don't get invited to things, or they don't, they come once, maybe twice. And I just had my 11-year anniversary down there.
Yeah.
So it does, it can change the face of people's social networks.
Right. And just,
for sure.
Just one of those other factors that we have to think about. And, you know, when you're trying to decide where do I buy,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of the first times in my career, you know, we have home buyers that are basing their buying decisions on transit. And I've
absolutely
never seen that before.
Which, speaking of which, because we've had Sound Transit, hi listeners, we have had Sound Transit on here before talking about the ST2 and mm-hmm. ST3 packages.
Yeah.
We did get outreach just this week from Sound Transit. Again, they're going to come back on the show in the next couple of months to give us an update on where things are at.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
We offered to let them come on and give us those details because you're right. We're seeing more and more between baby boomers and the millennials who don't want to be in their cars, but realize, you know, they need to have options.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking more and more to be along those transit lines.
Yeah, for
whether
sure.
it's rapid bus transit, Sounder, light rail, whatever, you know, any kind of congregation of those, mm-hmm. you know, different resources, they're looking for them.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I've got a bunch of people I'm working with right now that's the number one thing they're like is I need to make sure I can get to my job and not have it take an hour and a half, 2 hours.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
Yeah, it's a huge change in dynamic and customers now that don't even own a car. You know, everything's changing with that.
There's a ton of them.
Yeah.
I have lots of clients that do not have vehicles any
absolutely.
Longer.
Absolutely. You know, so. And housing affordability is going to continue to be a factor in our region. We know mm-hmm. that for sure.
Well, and choosing not to have a vehicle mm-hmm. allows you more flexibility mm-hmm. in your housing.
Right. Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, exactly. Much, much more affordable with all of that.
Yeah.
You know, so we're going to be kind of diving a little bit deeper into some of the programs and options that are available, you know, on that affordable first time buyers, especially.
Yeah.
And so when we come back, we've got Corinna Obar with Washington State Housing Finance Commission to join us.
Yes.
Talking about first time home buyer programs. Stay tuned.
Let's more get home. Empowered.
Open House with Team Reba on AM 1590. The Answer.